prime time on Football Friday.
No one comes into our house and pushes us around.
1080 The Fan.
How you play today, from this moment on, is how you will be remembered.
This is a Football Friday edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
Tap by Coors Light. Duck fans, as you power up for game day, grab some frost-brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly.
Football Friday with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what a dude!
Hey!
I just got Manhattan handed.
I know!
To me.
It's a swag Hatton.
Yes.
Cheers, cheers, buddy.
Yeah, cheers to you. These are delicious. It's that time of year, ladies and gentlemen.
It is.
Whoa, almost spilled mine.
Well, we were supposed to be, Swag was celebrating. I think this is the last day where the three of them were together, Dirt and Sprague and Swag. Ooh. But Dirt has like Ebola or something.
Yeah, you better disinfect
it. Dude, I sprayed. That's the only bad part about this is my Swag Hatton has a little bit of Lysol taste to it now. I coated everything in like half a can of Lysol.
If crosstalk gets me sick, I'm going to be pissed.
That's what brings you down?
Well, I walked by the window, and I saw that Sprague was solo.
Yeah.
And so I just came in.
Well, good for you. You know what that's called? That's pitching in.
Yeah, and I sat down in that chair, which is where you're sitting now, which is where Dirt sits.
Yeah.
And then I find out that Dirt has been puking all day.
I know.
And my, you know, when I talk when I talk on the radio, I nestle the mic. Like,
yeah.
I make love to the mic.
Yeah.
I get right up in it.
Sweet, sweet radio love.
And so now I feel like why did I even do that in the first place? Why not just wait for my own stupid show? I've got 4 hours. What do I need to...
Are you that selfish and that greedy that you that 4 hours isn't enough?
Brandon, really hot take. Really hot take. I just thought of it. I got to get it out there. So,
well, and by the way, thanks a lot, because now you've got the boss discussing crosstalk as a regular thing now.
Oh, no. No, he's not. He knows we won't do it.
I just want you to know, if he tells us to crosstalk, that's you, Cat Daddy, because you started that.
We're not crosstalking. I refused to do it back when it was required.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And when I did do it, I made it so awkward that he got rid of it.
You're welcome. You did kill crosstalk. You were in here with the Jewish Rampage, and you had him flummoxed like no one else.
Yeah.
Boy, you jammed him right up.
Yeah, and so that was my tactic to get rid of that.
It worked.
I mean, does anybody really like that anyway? Crosstalk, who cares?
I think the boss does.
Well, he just wants to keep people listening.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's a pretty good theory.
that does help a radio station. But yeah, what if you now have to pray to the porcelain gods on your knees because of crosstalk? You got
who should
dirt.
I blame? Dirt?
Well, I think it's Dirt. Or
dirt,
blame yourself.
Or me or crosstalk. I'll probably blame crosstalk.
Well, this is the problem. So, like I've been sitting here, me and Dirt share a mic every day. So, if he has the Andromeda strain, chances are I've already got it.
That's true.
And I can't handle this because I had that stupid tonsil infection for 2 weeks. And now I've had a head cold for the last 2 weeks. And if I get whatever the hell Dirt's got,
you're so cute, Jason.
Someone's getting punched.
Mm. Wow. You've been exceptionally angry this month. Are you okay?
No, I'm sick. I can't shake whatever this is.
Now, this is Zook's last day.
Yeah, I'm done.
For a long time.
Yeah.
He will not be returning to our broadcast until January 2nd.
This is my last day of the year. Well, normally I take the last week and a half. My last day of the year is usually around the 17th or 18th. But with Christmas and Christmas Eve falling during the week, and then the Seahawks game on Monday and New Year's, it just kind of worked out where I just take the end of the year and I count my vacation days backwards, and it surprised the hell out of me. My last day was supposed to be Monday, but the Seahawks game, nothing I can do about that.
Yeah, we're going to throw no-show Monday at you guys on Monday. So
here we are.
Three-day weekend for me. You, 21-day weekend for you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Ish.
I got nothing going on, though. It's one of those where I'm not certain. This may either be the greatest 21 days, or I'm going to develop a real drinking problem over these 21 days. And maybe they're,
I think those two go hand in hand.
It's possible.
It'll be magical.
Yeah. I mean,
just make the most of every day.
Because my kids are because the teacher strike, my kids don't break till the 22nd.
Oh, sweet.
So it's just me at the house doing a whole lot of nothing.
Dude.
That's day drinking, just waiting to happen.
You're going
to
be so bored. Or maybe you won't.
It's possible. Well, I got to, we'll see what happens.
Just drink early.
Try to find some stuff to occupy the time.
See, if you told me that I was going to be sitting at the house all day with no kids, until they got home,
Yeah.
What time did they get home? 3?
Yeah, 3:30, something like that.
I would say that's so boring. Oh my God. I'd go stir crazy. Like, I'm too antsy. You know?
Yeah.
Fidgety. But
that's kind of right up my alley, though.
If I start drinking, mm-hmm. It's fine. Right? Like, I feel like I have something going on. Like, if I'm drinking, it's fun. And I can sit there and do nothing. If I'm not drinking, I got to do something.
Yeah. It's possible. We'll see how it goes. I'll try to keep you updated on how this is going. And I'm not going to lie. I'm trying to look for something to do maybe after Christmas. Because I feel like after Christmas, it's going to be like, all right, I should probably do something. So I'm poking around with some ideas of trying to get to someplace cheap. So I'm looking for cheap airfare or maybe someplace to drive.
Ooh, 55305.
Something to do.
Where should Suk go?
Yeah. We're looking for a relatively cheap.
You ever been to Crater Lake?
In the middle of winter? I'm going to go ahead and pass on that.
It's nice up there.
That's the problem, is any place sunny that I would want to go is really expensive.
Well, it's the holidays.
It is the holidays. Like, you suggested Palm Springs. And yeah. I was like, oh, Palm Springs.
I'm going there in March, and I booked a ticket the other night for $188.
Yeah, so I was like, well, Palm Springs it is, right?
Like, boom.
Like, and so I looked at Palm Springs, like, the week after Christmas. Yeah, $600+.
Mm.
Yeah, that's...
So that's out?
That's out.
No.
No. No. So we're looking... The only places,
where
like...
Where else could we go?
It's possible Vegas may happen, because...
Oh,
you know,
that's good.
Vegas is cheap.
Yeah, do you have points or anything, like miles?
Yeah,
use?
Yeah, we'll see what we can dig out, so...
That was pretty vague, like... You have points or miles or no?
We'll see what we can
He's
dig
like, yeah,
out.
Yeah, we'll see what we can dig out.
No, no.
I can't really dig out any miles. You either have them or you haven't.
No.
Or you don't.
Yes.
I don't have miles. Like, I don't.
No?
No, I don't do a miles card.
No, I
have points. Like, well, Amex is the only credit card.
Well, I have points.
Amex?
But you just convert them to miles.
American Express.
But I usually save that for spring break.
You mean Amex?
Whatever.
Because we always go somewhere over spring break, and that's usually what takes care of that.
Well, maybe we can go to Florida. You want to go to Florida?
Sure.
It sucks down there. Nobody wants to go there. I'm sure it's cheap.
We'll see. Like, that's what I'm saying. I'm open to the idea.
Go to Yosemite.
Of going somewhere. It will largely be based on convenience.
Yellowstone.
And hopefully somewhat cheap.
Banff.
Banff.
Canada. Hmm. You ever been to Banff?
No, but again, very cold.
Oh, you want to go somewhere warm?
Yeah, you got to go someplace warm.
Phoenix.
I don't want to go someplace cold. See, that's a real possibility.
Go to the desert.
Yeah. Scottsdale, yeah.
You know what you should do is go stay at that Camelback Inn that we stayed at for the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool place.
That place is sweet.
Yeah. I've been there before, too, I think.
Go stay there.
Yeah.
It's right up against that Camelback Mountain, correct?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. It's got a little spa in there.
If you're just going to go somewhere like during the winter and you live here, you can't go someplace cold. Like, that's right out.
Yeah, go to Tempe.
I need a place.
Or, I mean, not Tempe, Scottsdale.
I need a place where you can drink and be warm, not drink and be cold.
Now, you won't have any beaches, but you'll have warm weather if you go to Arizona.
I don't necessarily need a beach. That's what pools are for. We're good.
True dat.
We'll figure something out.
Mike just true datted you.
True dat.
He's one of the kids. So what are we going to do today? Good question. I don't know.
We'll probably sports a little bit. Can we talk about that big win?
What win?
Did you not see
my Titans?
No, I thought we were talking the Blazers.
Oh.
Everything's right again. Come on. Jake Layman, mustaches, all is right with the world.
Yeah, like, it's a little, isn't it so weird when somebody shaves and then you see them for the first time?
Yeah,
like,
it's a little odd.
It's so jarring.
It is.
See,
I'm, when we first started the program, you were beardless. You were smooth-faced.
Yeah, 1984,
you had the soul patch.
I was 10.
That's the one that gets me when I see you with the soul patch. Like when you
that's
first
the Andy Carson.
When you first started here. But it's been, I mean, God, you haven't even like trimmed that thing. You've had that for over a decade now.
Oh, I trim it.
Yeah, but it's never to the point where it even looks like you have a full beard.
You know, I shaved in Italy. Did I tell you that?
Yeah, but by the time you got back, it was back to a full beard.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen you.
And now it's turning really white.
It's been a decade since I've seen you without a full beard. And I don't.
Maybe I'll give that to you for Christmas.
I don't know what I would do if I showed up and you didn't have a full beard. It would really throw me for a loop.
Mm.
I can't even picture you anymore without a full beard.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
But that sort of commitment is kind of impressive. Like, I can't do that. I usually have some form of facial hair, but every couple of months, I don't know, I just get bored and everything gets shaved off.
This is the longest I've ever had facial hair.
Yeah.
Got a beard.
I've been keeping it up since, I don't know, August.
The show is entirely bearded right now.
Maybe it's just because, again, I don't have any hair, and so it's like, it's the only thing I can do to change, like, what you see in the mirror.
Do you need to change what you see in the mirror? Why not just go with a look that's nice and solid and everybody, you know,
but again, I think you guys maybe don't relate because on any given day, your hair probably changes the way you look, right?
Mm.
Depending on how long it is, you comb it, you don't comb it. Like Rob's got like a little bit of a hangover thing happening. The hair is just doing.
It looks like he just woke up.
Yeah, like he just woke up.
You know what? I didn't even drink last night.
No?
Mm-mm. Well, which is rare.
It has that appearance.
You know why?
What?
I had a life insurance like
meeting.
Well, you know how they come to your house,
sure,
for life insurance. I'm getting a new life insurance.
And that's
policy.
Why you didn't drink.
Well, I mean, they take your blood and everything.
Let me hip you to the way this works. You drinking or not drinking one night is not going to affect anything.
Well, that's what they told me to do. They said fast for 12 hours. So I didn't drink.
So no beverages.
And then Dr. Suk.
And then after they left, nothing.
Yeah, when they left, I assume you.
Well, no,
crack
was,
open
the
bottle of
morning.
your index finger.
Jesus, guys. Although I am drinking a delicious Swag Hatton right
now. You're drinking right now on the air.
Mm.
I just feel like that's my point, though, is like when Rob can change or you can change the way you look every day, I literally wake up, and believe me, it's depressing. When you see this in the mirror every day, and I see it in the mirror every day for, I don't know, I've been bald for 12 years. There's nothing else to do. And every now and then you just look at your stupid face and you're like, oh, God, let's try this. And I don't know, you end up shaving something off. Whereas you have managed to stay consistent for, God, I don't know, 10, 11 years, however long that thing's been.
Well, that's me. I mean, I'm very consistent.
You are a model of consistency.
You know.
I like to have a little whimsy in my life, Isaac Kropp.
All right. Well, let's get to going here.
Yeah, we should probably do that.
I have nothing today.
You've got nothing.
I mean, there's some stuff, but I don't really care. So how do you guys feel about that?
Well, there's big NBA trades. We could talk about Monday Night Football.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
I mean, are we being limited to one Manhattan? Because the show could get nice and loose.
Is he still making them in there?
Well, he's not making them, but he is still in the building.
Yeah, because I feel like get three or four of those, all of a sudden you're feeling a lot better about
it. All of a sudden the show is very interesting.
Who got traded?
Well, it's not
it's a nothing trade.
It's a nothing trade. It was Dellavedova for George Hill.
Went back to the Cavs.
Yeah. Oh, but I was in.
You got
with,
me all excited.
I know. Well, that's Sprague did it to me. I was in there with Swag because he was making me a Manhattan, and Sprague came on the air with like breaking news, and he was like huge Woj bomb and like big NBA trade, and he was all excited. I was like, holy crap! He just came across the line. I was like, did the Blazers do something, or I don't know, did the Lakers make a move? And then that's when he hit me with Dellavedova. I was like, damn it,
for George Hill.
For George Hill, I'm like, he got me.
Okay, here's a question.
Yeah,
who did those guys play for?
Dellavedova was playing for the Milwaukee Bucks, and George Hill was playing for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Okay. I can't keep track of George Hill.
No. Well, and same thing with Dellavedova.
I think he's been in Milwaukee since Cleveland, hasn't he?
I feel like he's bounced around a little bit. But we've talked about it because we were debating earlier in the year if Cleveland had the best white bench in the NBA.
A white guy for a black guy, that's not fair.
No.
Not a fair deal.
You can't do that. But
they did.
Dellavedova is a master of the sideline cheering because – like, that's like the Myers, Leonard, Jake Layman, Pat Connaughton role. You know, they all get excited. The white guy on the bench, like, waving the towel. Dellavedova does it as good as anybody.
All right. Well, I'm told that there's Joel Klatt audio because he was on the morning show this morning.
Was he pissed off about something?
I don't know. But
Klatt's usually pissed about something. It's usually the College Football Playoff Committee. But
well, this time I think he was talking about the Pac-12.
Was he pissed about that?
And Ed Ray.
Well, he probably should. I mean, that's a bit of a...
So we've got the audio.
That's fairly legit to be upset about.
Got the audio. And we'll talk about Derrick Henry. I want to talk about Derrick Henry for a second.
Yeah, and why everyone is insisting on tackling a giant man up by the shoulders.
Everyone, not everyone.
Well, I have
just the Jags.
I have a hot take on this about the beast mode run.
Okay.
I'm going to throw a little bit of a wet blanket on it.
I could have run that.
I'm not going to say you could have run it, but... That's equal parts Derrick Henry and equal parts Jacksonville not caring. If you want to see what an NFL team looks like when they've given up, I give you the Jacksonville Jaguars on Thursday night.
All right, we'll start there. It's 3:15 on the Fan.
Frosted and windy.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Tapped by Coors Light.
On 1080 The Fan.
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling Christmas, man.
Are you?
I am.
Yeah, for everyone, it hits at a different time. Now, some people I've heard even the, it's too early to say Merry Christmas, or what? They're not into the Christmas music. Yeah, it's like there's a...
I'm all over it.
Yeah, I'm kind of the day after Thanksgiving, because you know me, I think Thanksgiving is just a stop sign on the way to Christmas. But for some people, they can't get on board just yet.
So last night, Thursday Night Football sucked.
Yeah, which we knew it was going to.
Yeah, we did.
But it sucked in a different way than I thought it was going to suck.
Right.
Yeah, I just thought it was going to be crappy all around. I guess Tennessee played okay,
well,
but
you know,
that was more about Jacksonville just quitting.
All I'm ever happy about for a game like that is that there's maybe a little bit of a storyline to talk about on Friday. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes it's like it doesn't even make the show.
Yeah, there's nothing.
But I thought it worth talking about Derrick Henry.
Well, I mean, 238 yards, 4 touchdowns.
17 carries.
99-yard run.
238 yards, 4 touchdowns. He averaged 14 yards a carry.
Now, I don't know a lot about football, but I think that's a pretty good clip. Am I wrong?
No, that's good.
If you're averaging 14 yards that's a carry, good. Do you keep handing him the ball? I mean, I would think.
I guess my question is he good or...
Again, Derrick Henry is a...
How good is he?
He's not elite, but he's a solid back. A bit of a throwback. I mean, he's 6'3", 250 pounds.
When he does well like that,
yeah,
he looks just awesome, mm-hmm. right? Like, he looks unstoppable.
Yeah.
But then you look at his numbers, and you kind of watch him over time, and you're like, yeah, you know, he's all right.
He's having a good year this year.
Well, I mean, I guess he just now has 715 yards, and he had 238 of them last night.
Yeah, but he splits time. I mean, he averages over 4 yards a carry. He's averaging...
Well, I think he averages close to 5, doesn't he?
Well, that probably helps that he had a 14-yard average, but if you take that, you look at his game log...
I'm going to go look at the... All right, so you've... There's been a resurgence of stud running backs in the NFL. It feels like 5 years ago we were just saying how interchangeable they were, and... Teams were just going with 2 no names, and just that was fine. That's all you needed. Now you got all these stars with like Gurley and Zeke and Saquon Barkley and Le'Veon Bell, although he didn't play. McCaffrey, Peterson's back, Kareem Hunt. But
Melvin Gordon.
I mean, there's a ton of studs now.
Yeah, if you look through his carries, and like I said, he splits. Yeah, he averages, you know, somewhere probably around 10 carries a game.
Is that all?
Yeah, and he'll get you 40, 50 yards. Score a couple touchdowns. He's a solid.
This is by far his best game of his career.
Yeah, by far.
He's a solid back,
but he looks awesome when he's. I don't know. He just highlights of him look like
sure.
Holy crap! That
guy's awesome.
Remember,
he's not a 4 down back, right? He's not their 3rd down back. Obvious passing situations, he comes out, and so he's a guy that needs to be platooned. I mean, I suppose if you wanted to run him like the way, you know, the Redskins like Adrian Peterson. He's just a throwback guy.
He's got 712 yards. The average is 4.9 carry.
Yeah, but that is skewed because of last night.
Last night counts, you know.
I suppose, but again, when you have...
He's right there with Joe Mixon.
When you have... See, Joe Mixon, to me, is a much better back than Derrick Henry.
They have almost identical stats.
Yeah. But to me, though, again, when you throw in... When you only have 700 yards plus on the season and you get 250 in one game... And you have 9 touchdowns, and you're in 4 of them come in one game. That skews everything. I do think that if you're looking at that, and you have one game like that, throw out the worst, throw out the best, and that gives you a better indicator of what Derrick Henry is. And Derrick Henry, like I said, is a solid, big kind of throwback tailback that is a little limited, and he's not a 3rd down guy. He's not going to be a 4 down guy, nor is he going to be a guy that you hand the ball to 25 times a game. He's a guy that is probably pretty well suited to do what he's doing right now, and that's split time with Deion Lewis, who is a more versatile back.
How about Philip Lindsay, man? That guy's averaging 6.1 yards a carry.
Yeah. I mean, everyone talked about Royce Freeman even in the preseason, and Philip Lindsay wasn't drafted. He was a free agent from the Pac-12 out of Colorado, and, you know, the guy has been one of the better backs in the NFL.
But if you've seen him play, any time he runs the ball, he finds a hole like that.
Yeah.
And then puts the Jets on. He's always getting 6, 7, 8 yards.
And here's the thing with that is you see this running backs a little bit are like relief pitchers to me in that you know, they can appear for a year or two and then they disappear as quickly as they come. And I'm not saying that Philip Lindsay won't be really good for a long time. It's just it's a little, I don't know, it's scary to me to anoint running backs when you haven't even completed an entire season. And also, when you first come to the league, it's as healthy as you're ever going to be, and you get guys to get used up real quick. Like you throw a ton of carries at someone, a ton of touches in the first 2 or 3 years, and then by the time they're trying to get a second contract, they're all washed up. I don't think people realize the wear and tear that comes on an NFL back's body.
Oh, I think they do.
In a couple years.
I mean, that's just, it's the shortest shelf life of any, or career length of any position. I mean, people know that.
I just think that if you were to ask people, like, what 2 years of a 300 to 400 touch season can do to a back, I think people are like, oh, he's young. And for a lot of people, you just fall off the map. Like, I'm trying to remember just off the top of my head. Remember Steve Slayton?
Yeah, I remember him.
Steve Slayton had like 2 years where the dude was phenomenal. And then you're like, hey, what happened to Steve Slayton? Well, he lost a step. You got beat up and you disappear.
And that's the difference, right?
That's the difference. Like when the difference between being an elite back and just being an everyday sort of guy is half a step. And the difference between being 23 and 25 years old and the punishment of two NFL seasons, that's the difference in that half a step. And it's why I don't love spending high picks or spending a bunch of money on backs. If you get guys that are truly elite, then I understand, you know, paying for them. But the time and time again, it's been proven in the NFL that you can find production cheap and young in the back half of the draft, or in the case of Philip Lindsay, free agency.
Slayton only had one good year, 1,282 yards. Damn good year.
Yeah. And then gone after that. See, I thought he had two or three.
No. His next year he had 437, and then he was out.
Literally 1 year.
1 year, yeah. Then they used to say if you give him over 300 carries, you're dead.
That's kind of
Isn't that the thing?
Supposedly the line of demarcation that when you
Zeke
get.
Zeke had 322 his first year.
Yeah. Like when you hit that 300 carry, who's the, it's not Pro Football Focus. Is it the Football Outsiders that put together the big, like, statistical Bible? And they always say that if you want to look for a fallback, go find backs that have 300 plus touches. That's kind of the difference between the elite guys, the Le'Veon Bells of the world, the LaDainian Tomlinsons, guys that can do that year in and year out, 300 plus touches. But a lot of others, there just isn't a fact. It's like boxing. Think like body blows, right? Like you just body shot, and you may not be able to tell it, you know, in the early rounds, but you get deep into the fight and all of a sudden you see the effect it takes. And that's kind of like running backs. You're like, oh, this guy's going to be great. And you're like, hey, what the hell happened to him? What happened to him is he touched the ball 350 times. And remember, in today's NFL, receivers and quarterbacks may not be taking the hits that they used to. Running backs are. That's the one thing about backs is this new, kinder, gentler NFL doesn't really exist with running backs. You're still getting your ass kicked on a daily basis when you're an every down back.
So do you fantasy guys have Henry on the bench last night? I'm guessing.
Whoops.
The guy in my league did, and a couple other people I talked
sure
to also
did,
had him on the bench. Yeah,
because he's not really a starter.
No.
He's not a good fantasy player.
He's not a good fantasy player, so you probably had him on the bench and he scored like 8,000 points.
Well, and that's like if you go back, and I'm not trying to crap on the run. It was an amazing run, the 99-yard touchdown run, but people are comparing that to the beast mode thing. Horse bleep. That beast mode thing, he just ran through people.
Yeah, rewatch that. It started circulating on Twitter again yesterday. Rewatch it. He just decimates the entire Saints defense.
Like the Saints have arms around him, and Marshawn Lynch is like, F you, I'm not going down. If you watch the Derrick Henry one, I don't know what the hell Jacksonville was doing.
The only guy who put an effort in was Bouye, and he got stiff-armed into the ground.
Let me just
Then Jack and the other guy kind of just gave him like this weird half hug.
Yeah, let me throw a little tip at you.
Dude, I'm watching beast mode again.
Yeah, isn't that like, that's the most amazing run you'll ever see. It's just, don't compare those two. It does a disservice to beast mode. Both of them, by the way, Marshawn Lynch runs, the double beast mode. But Derrick Henry is 6'5", 6'4"-ish, 250 pounds. The hell are they doing grabbing him around the shoulder pads? Like, you're a corner. How about this one? Dive at his legs. And then there's a defensive lineman who name is escapes me. I don't remember who it was, 90-something. And then same thing with Miles Jack. Both of them have an angle on him. Dive at his legs. Like, either one of them could have just fallen down and Derrick Henry would have tripped over him, but they decided to try to, like, shove him down. Like,
it wasn't even a shove. They just kind of went. It almost looked like they tried to grab him by the shoulders.
That is a
and
giant,
they didn't get close.
That is a giant human being.
What? I don't understand. Okay, what? Oh.
They just quit. They didn't care.
Beast Mode broke 8 tackles on that run.
And not, like, necessarily arm tackles either. He just ran through people.
He shoved one guy. He literally shoved one guy like 10 yards.
Yeah.
Amazing. But I don't really get the Jags. I mean, last week they shut out Andrew Luck and the Colts, and everybody said, well, you know, if they run the table,
yeah,
you know, they could finish 8-8, and, like, here comes their defense finally. And they don't even, like, we give a lot of flack to the NBA for being a bunch of lazy bastards.
Yep.
What about that? That team didn't, they didn't care to win that game.
Nope. It is as bad a performance as you will see. And the thing that's embarrassing is I get your offense is bad. You know, Cody Kessler, you're not doing anything. That's an elite defense with elite talent. And they're going to watch that film and they're going to, they should be embarrassed at the effort they put out. And I get it. It's the end of the year. You got nothing to play for. It's Thursday night. You're on the road. I guess I understand you're not going to be necessarily fired up the way you would.
If they were the week before, though.
But you were the week before, and that effort you put on film is embarrassing. They're going to go back and watch, especially some of those runs with Derrick Henry, and they should get their ass chewed, and they should be embarrassed at that effort that they put out on the football field.
All right, coming up next, Joel Klatt speaks truth on The Fan. Here's Mike.
Christmas is the time of year.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Tap by Coors Light.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, 3:35.
More importantly, how good is Ray Charles?
Oh, he's very good.
Oh. That's one of those voices that just gets me every damn time. And I don't listen to enough Ray Charles. I really don't. But every time he comes on, it gets me right where the old heart is.
You gonna cry?
It's possible.
Don't cry, Jace.
Just give me a little.
It's a happy day.
Give me a little warm fuzzy there, Ray. Not the best guy in the world, but damn it, he could sing a song.
Ray's the man. I like Ray. And I listen to plenty of Ray on Spotify.
Yeah, I don't think that's one of those that I don't know why it doesn't circle back around more for me, but it should.
You got to get him on your. You got to get him in your. In your list.
Yeah.
So you see it.
Got to put it in the mix. Did you get your, like, your top artist, your top songs of 2018 yet?
Oh, no. I've been seeing people do that.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
That's a thing. It kicks what
you... Is that a Spotify thing?
It's a Spotify thing. I think most music services do it now. Like,
where it just shows you what you listen to most?
Yeah. It gives you your most played artists, your most played songs. And sometimes you're like, oh, God, I didn't realize... how much of that I listened to. The one that surprised me a little bit, I didn't think I listened to as much as I did. There was a lot of Frank on mine this year.
Old Blue Eyes. Yeah. I listened to Mbop an awful lot.
Hanson.
The Hanson brothers.
Yeah, yeah. I went from Frank Sinatra, a lot of Cardi B, obviously, on mine. Yeah, really high up on my list.
You know what? I think it's Cardi B. Hold on, let me check. I want to check something. I want to tell you something.
Yeah, tell me something about Cardi
B. Christmas music is...
oh, God.
I don't know. You listen to...
I'm interested to know where you thought that was going that you dropped an oh, God.
I just don't like Cardi B at all.
Why not?
I don't think she's good.
Well, you realized I was being sarcastic when I said that Cardi B was on my...
No, I know, but Rob was about to pull up his Spotify and tell me how many times he's listened to Cardi B.
No, just hold on. You don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Save your oh, Gods, God. All right?
Hold on.
Is it still Hanukkah, by the way?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, it's not been 8 days.
Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you.
When's it run out?
Today is the 6th day, so Sunday night.
You getting anything?
I've already gotten some stuff.
Okay, It's not Cardi B. Like, I get these names all mixed up.
Yeah.
But I think that, so 97.1
sure.
Is here in our building.
Charlie,
they've been playing Christmas music since Thanksgiving. And I sometimes get frustrated because they just play the same songs over and over.
Yeah.
And it kind of drives
me. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
Hand me a gun, please. I mean, that song is so bad. But some of it's good.
There's like 4 words to the entire song.
Well,
hey, Paul, write something else.
I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's just the same songs. It's like there's so much good Christmas music out there.
Sure.
Artists, really good artists have made really good Christmas music. And so I have been on a hunt to put together a Christmas playlist that you can play at the house that doesn't have, like, all of that crap
all
in it.
All the same just, traditional.
Yeah. And somebody turned me on to an artist named Sia, S-I-A. Yeah. Have you heard of her?
Well, her
famous song is Chandelier.
She writes a lot of songs for other people.
She has a really good Christmas album.
Really?
Yeah,
like
it's
good. She wrote Rihanna, the Diamonds in the Sky. Okay. That's Sia.
Okay.
And she's written hits for like Britney Spears, and she does some stuff for herself.
I knew not of Sia until somebody said, hey, if you're looking for different Christmas music, try Sia's new album. And she's got a really good, it's S-I-A. And her Christmas album is good to put in your rotation.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I do like a traditional Christmas song as well, but I like when they're sung by recent artists. I don't know if it's Celtic or Celtic. I'm not sure which one they go with, but the Celtic or Celtic women, have you ever seen them?
No.
It's amazing. And they sing all the traditional Christmas songs, but they're just, that is my favorite Christmas album. And around this time of the year, I throw that in and you get, you know,
good album.
It's just great. You get all the traditional, the First Noel and Hark the Herald and all that, but they sing like angels. I freaking love it.
Ooh, I was just told the Killers have a Christmas album. Badass. I like the Killers.
Yeah, I like when
I didn't know that.
And I like my favorite Christmas song, I've talked about it, is it's a blues traveler wrote a song a number of years ago for a very special Christmas, and it's my favorite Christmas song of all time.
Yeah, it's a good tune. Yeah. I remember you played it once.
Big fan.
You know who else you can't go wrong Christmas-wise? Bublé does good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But
this is the time of year where Bublé and the Groban,
he shines.
They shine.
Exactly where I was going. Josh Groban's Christmas album is sensational.
You can't go wrong.
Yeah.
That,
and
right?
Kelly Clarkson also has a good one.
Really?
She does a good job on those.
I don't know if I've ever heard a Clarkson sort of country. Martina McBride has a really good country album as well. Normally, I would roll my eyes at that, but same thing. Beautiful voice. Same thing with Alison Krauss. Mm-hmm. Great, just great tone for Christmas music.
Okay, where were we?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Somehow we got distracted. I don't know. We came back and it was Ray Charles, and then we talked about songs that you listen to.
Pentatonix. A lot of people are throwing that out. That's a good one. They're good.
I can't get on board with that.
They're good.
I feel like it's like a crappy high school a cappella group.
It's not really that crappy, though. Like they're pretty good, man.
I feel like I'm listening to like Pitch Perfect, like I'm listening to the Bellas. There's something about a cappella that just, I don't know. It annoys me. I can't get on board.
All right. We're going to play you some Joel Klatt audio.
Oh, that's where we were going with this. Joel Klatt.
He was on the morning show this morning.
And
our morning show is Dusty and Cam.
I'm assuming he's grumpy.
Now, why would you assume that?
Because,
who's more grumpy, you or him?
Oh, I don't think I'm very grumpy.
What?
Well, after your Alex Smith thing, maybe. But no, I'm usually in a good mood. Klatt is usually pissed off about something. I don't care about enough things to be upset.
Well, Klatt's like a hot take guy.
Yes.
He gets, and some of it may just be for show. I don't think he's grumpy. I think he just knows he gets paid to spew opinions. And
When do I get fired up about other than you lying about Alex Smith?
You've been a little cranky lately. I'm a little worried about you. But it's okay. It's just you. All right, here's Joel Klatt. Now, this is on the Pac-12. He's talking about Ed Ray. Because Ed Ray, Oregon State president, has come out and said that he doesn't understand why everybody's piling on the Pac-12, and he thinks Larry Scott's great.
Yeah.
And he thinks that the sports blogger mob or whatever is to blame for all this negative.
It's unfounded, the criticisms coming the Pac-12's way.
And here's what Klatt said this morning on Dusty and Cam.
I will say that I think it's much worse for the conference than a guy like Ed Ray is acknowledging. He's the president at Oregon State, part of the Pac-12 CEO group. And candidly, one of the main problems with the conference, because he is a guy that wants to bury his head in the sand and just talk about theory. And in theory, the actions of the conference have made it better and stronger over the last 5 and 6 years. But that's all it has been is theory. In reality, it is incredibly weak. And it is 5th out of 5. In almost every metric that you can possibly measure in college football, whether it's performance on the field, revenue off the field, perception off the field, on the field, I mean, all of it. And I think that's a frustrating thing for fans. I think that's a really frustrating thing for athletic directors and coaches. That's part of the issue. I don't know if you guys saw some of those things that came out think it was yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Ed Ray's communication and this and that. And he was talking about that basically it was just the, you know, basically the, it was his version of like, hey, it's just the fake news media that, that right. feels this way. And it's like, no, your own athletic directors feel this way. I would go out on a limb and say that the most upset people about what the conference has done and is doing are the athletic directors. They are beside themselves right now that they have been stripped from power by that Pac-12 CEO group and that Larry Scott doesn't answer to them at all. And candidly, this conference is in dire straits right now. They have got to fix some things and fix it fast, and it's not going to be just wins on the football field. I know you asked about this bowl season, and certainly it would help if they were able to go out there and play better on the field and get some wins and do better than 1-8, which I can guarantee you they're going to do better than 1-8 because they only got 7 bowls.
Yeah, right. So, is he over? Is that it?
I think we cut it off there.
Yeah, so what do you think?
That's not angry Joe Klatt. I think that is, like, making sense. Very reasonable Joe Klatt. And I agree with everything he had to say. I do think that the Pac-12 is in some serious danger. When you look at both basketball and football, they're irrelevant right now. And it is an arms race, and you aren't making what others are making, and that gap continues to grow year by year. And I do think it's an issue. And it's an issue right now that the Pac-12 doesn't seem to want to address. And that's the part that scares me more than anything else. It's like, if you've got a health problem, right? Let's say you've got diabetes, okay? Very manageable condition, especially if it's adult onset, right? You little diet, little exercise.
Manhattans.
Yeah, a few Manhattans, take some pills. You can manage it, right? It's not the end of the world. But you get people that have diabetes and they refuse to even acknowledge that they need to make lifestyle changes. That to me is what the Pac-12 has. The Pac-12 has diabetes and they don't want to give up sweets and they don't want to exercise and they don't want to take medication. They're burying their head in the sand and pretending that everything's okay. And with each passing year, they fall further and further behind. And there's this notion with Larry Scott that wait till 2026, right? Oh, 2026, we control our all of our media rights and we're going to make the greatest deal in the world. Meanwhile, with each year, you're falling millions upon millions behind. And my fear is that by the time you get there, it's going to be so far gone, there's nothing you can do about it. You're going to lose a foot. You're getting a leg cut off. So that's the part that would scare me more than anything else if I'm a fan of a Pac-12 institution or if I'm an athletic director, if I'm a coach, is that it doesn't appear that the Pac-12 is willing to admit that they have a problem.
Yeah, and I think we're going to be saying the same things, just two totally different ways of saying it. But I feel like college football has become such big business.
Yes.
Keyword being business, that these academic types, they're not the right guys to be running the business. I mean, they're academic guys. They're not business guys.
Yeah.
Ed Ray is in more debt at Oregon State than anybody.
What are they, 40 plus million in debt?
Whatever it is. Eggers did a thing on that recently about, you know, where they're at. So it's like, why would we expect these academias to be able to know what they're doing on a business level? Because that's really what it's become. It's all business.
Sure.
And they don't know what they're doing.
No.
So that's what it's the same thing that you just said. It's just that's why I think you're seeing it. These are the wrong guys.
Yeah. And they don't.
They need to just separate from the academic part of it and just run it like a business.
Put someone in charge. And that's the scary part is you're supposed to have Larry Scott, who's supposed to be in charge. He's supposed to be a business guy. But apparently he's not interested in actually running a fiscally responsible business.
He's a fraud.
And that's the part that I just don't understand.
That guy hoodwinked everybody.
Everyone.
He's a fraud.
Yes. 100% agree with you on that.
All right. It is 3:47. That is Joel Klatt's Christmas album. Up next, an NBA coach who is saying that, well, you can't have a hot female coach.
Hot takes.
And he'll tell you why. Now, did you see this quote?
I did see this quote. And this, we'll bring this back to the Me Too movement because you heard a lot of this from CEO types. Tony Robbins said this about the Me Too movement, and it goes hand in hand, and it's just ridiculous.
All right, that's next on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Tap by Coors Light.
On 1080 The Fan.
We're getting a lot of hot Christmas music recommendations.
Some suggestions, if you will.
Yeah, somebody said, a few people said Seth MacFarlane has a pretty good Christmas album.
Yeah, he's actually got a really good voice. He did an album of standards. I'm assuming he's got, someone said he's got a Christmas album. And yeah, he's got a good, like, he sings like an old-timey 50s crooner.
Good times. What else do we have on here? We have Twisted Sister.
I do know that Twisted Sister has a Christmas album.
Do they?
Yeah.
That's a real thing?
That is a real thing. I think there's a lot of people that do tongue-in-cheek sort of Christmas albums. Someone said Dropkick Murphys has one.
Oh, yeah. Those guys.
Well, and you can mix it up, too. Like,
what, Bieber's is good, apparently.
The Biebs?
Biebs.
And every now and then you throw a curveball. It's not an album, but like Christmas in Holland. Or what's the...
You're doing great.
Run DMC.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Christmas in, what is it, Hollins?
Sure.
Hollis, that's what it is. Christmas in Hollis.
Okay.
You've never heard that one?
No.
I've heard of it.
Go pull that up.
Pull it up.
Pull it up. It's,
Go now.
Once you hear it, you'll be like, oh, okay. That's a great one. Like, every now and then you just throw in a little, you throw in a little Run DMC in your Christmas mix.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you've heard this.
Oh, yeah. Christmas in Holland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even Mike's heard this. I have a quote here.
What do you got?
Ready for this? Brace yourself.
Oh, and someone does point out, and this is true, if you watch the video to that, one of the members of Run DMC is wearing a Blazer starter jacket in that video.
Wow.
Yeah. A little Blazer love.
The Zers.
The Zers getting some love from like 1988-ish Run DMC.
Yeah, man.
That's a good video. The little elves doing the naughty or nice thing.
Okay, so this is a veteran NBA coach is quoted as saying, and this is Barstool Sports.
And by the way, can I just say beforehand, this is a ridiculous statement, and yet he's 100% right.
Okay, he says, you can't have a hot woman in the NBA. Guys will be trying to F her every day. By and large, the NBA is an incredibly sexist environment. I listen to players talk about women. I have a daughter, and it's sometimes disturbing. But it's nothing new. It hasn't gotten worse over the years. In our society, there are men uncomfortable working under women, and a handful of our players would have a problem with it.
Yeah.
So this was
just an anonymous veteran coach.
Yeah, but it was in response to Becky Hammon possibly getting a head coaching job. She's been an assistant with the Spurs for years.
It's sad and pathetic, that statement, and yet it's true. And the idea that you can't have a woman coach, it's not that a woman isn't capable of doing it. It's that men are so stupid. The problem exists with men. The problem doesn't exist with women. And this is the whole Tony Robbins thing, right? Tony Robbins, the motivational speaker in the midst of the hashtag Me Too movement, was caught saying that he knows a lot of CEO types that won't hire hot women because they can't control themselves around them. And that is pathetic. That is absolutely pathetic that women can't have a job because they're too attractive and men can't control themselves around.
Don't you think? That's a cop out. They can control themselves.
They just don't want to.
They live in a society where they feel like they don't have to.
Amen. Valid.
That's what it is.
Yes.
And that's pathetic. I'm with you on that. So maybe we should hire a really smoking hot NBA basketball coach and make guys figure it out. Maybe this is the way that that we advance society a little bit.
You throw them into deep water and see who can swim and sinks.
You know, I'm somewhat joking, but somewhat not. It's like, it's just kind of ridiculous.
But the idea that you can't work for someone without sleeping with them, like that.
You can't do anything with an attractive person of the opposite sex, but try to get in their pants.
Yes. Like, really?
But that's the NBA for you.
But and I think that professional sports is a little more so.
Yes.
Knuckle dragging.
Oh, a lot more so.
But I do think that this is a reality in a lot of, in a lot of the world. I think there is this notion that if you put an attractive female in there, guys won't be able to do anything else. And I that just amazes me that you can't separate
the two, or but I think you made a real good point in that you can, you just choose not to.
Well, yeah, we just need to change the guidelines, you know, and guys aren't getting it. Like, who is it? Oh, the KU running back, Puka Williams, young guy, beat up a girl. I mean, it's like Kareem Hunt. Like, you just, you keep hearing these stories, and you go and you say, okay, well, clearly these guys don't learn from other high-profile people in their position, right? So yeah. What's going on? So it's obviously a deeper problem than that. So the question is, how do you get to the root of that problem? And maybe one way is just a small way, but it's incremental progress. That's how we make progress. It takes a long time. But maybe a small way is the rest of the league sees that there is a pretty attractive, Becky Hammon's an attractive woman.
Absolutely.
She's a pretty attractive woman, and she is the new head coach of the whomevers. And guess what? Guys aren't trying to F her, and guys have massive respect for her, and she's doing a really good job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you do cross the line, you're out. So maybe that is a good way to incrementally kind of send a message to guys that, like, hey, it's this is the way it should be, not the way you think it should be.
It just fascinates me that you can't have a situation where you find someone attractive and still act in a professional manner. Like, that just bewilders me. But I think sometimes in the world of big corporate business, or in the case of professional athletes, I think what you have is entitlement,
exactly.
Right? And exactly. When you, your entire life have been enabled, whether that's through business because that's of right. your wealth or through your athletic prowess, you've
or
never,
your power.
Yeah, your power. You've never learned that sometimes there's just things that you can't have, whether you want them or not. I mean, we had an attractive, I don't know what our boss, right? I don't know what.
Yeah, Jeff Sahadi.
Yeah, Jeff, you know, that's sexy guy. But what do you call, like, our big boss? I don't even know what that.
Bill?
That, yeah. What's
the GM.
The GM?
Our general manager. We, yeah. For a while, we had a female.
Oh, yeah.
GM who was very attractive.
Aaron.
Yeah, Aaron. And who was a, you know, definitely a power player, right? Like, she looked like she knew what she was doing. There were a lot of people that found her attractive. And the idea that you can't work under or have a subordinate under you that isn't attractive, that you can admit, like, dude, that gal's got it going on, and her husband's a stud, right? Stan's the man. We love Stan. That you can't find someone attractive and yet operate on a level of respect,
it's crazy.
That's got to change.
Right. And that's what I'm saying is, like, send that message. Like, you can't just say that to guys. You have to show them. And maybe hiring a Becky Hammon would show them.
Either that, or it turns into an absolute dumpster fire, and everyone's terrified of the lawsuit that comes from it. And that sort of fear is what holds women back. And that sucks, because it's not their fault. It's men's fault. It's men in power. It's the culture that's been created for, I don't know, several thousand years.
It's probably pretty hard for you to work next to me every day, right?
I mean, I look at you, and it's really tough. But
it's not easy. But you do it. You keep your hands to yourself.
I have never laid a hand on you. I'll admit, sometimes though,
I appreciate that.
Over the years, occasionally we'll share a hug. Mm-hmm. It's tough. Yeah. Stirs up.
Slide your hand on my butt.
You know what? I catch some feelings, and it gets me all weird and confused. But I go home, I take a cold shower, and I'm fine. Yeah. Somehow I managed to press on.
All right.
But this is the same sort of thing, like, with when we talk about homosexuals, like, in a locker room, right?
Right.
It's like, well, I don't want to shower next to a gay guy. I'm, you know, he's going to see me naked. As if that gay guy can't control his feelings. He's going to see you in the locker room naked and just be like, nope, can't keep my hands to myself. Just got to run over and grab him. It's that sort of mentality. And it's just an archaic way of thinking that somehow you can't be in control of your own behavior, or that your thoughts are so powerful that there's no possible way that your actions can be greater than your thoughts.
All right, coming up next, vacancies.